Okay, we're going to have a quick review on the bottom of Dalet Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. We did it yesterday, and we're going to get into the Gemara. But let's just quickly review the opinions over here. Am I good? Oh, I don't put the English in yet. Hello. Give it a sec. Ugh, what happened? The whole thing. My sliders. Oh, now they came. Okay. Back. Oh, still a little frozen. Well, still sleeping a little bit. Okay, we're going to have a machlokes, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim over here, regarding situations where perhaps you'd give Eidim Zomamim, if you always would give Eidim Zomamim two punishments, right? And we give the first case. Okay, we're back on track now. Okay, first case is Me'idim Anu Be'ish Ploni, the false witnesses, they testify about a certain person, Shechayv L'Chaveru Masayim Zuz, he owes his friend 200 Zuz, V'nimtzu Zoymimim, and we find out that they're liars. So this opinion says, Lokim U'mishalmim, they get lashed and they pay the $200. Why? Shelo Hashem HaMevin L'dei Makos M'vin L'dei Tashlumim. The pasuk that says that they're chayiv for lashes is not the same pasuk that says they have to pay. Divrei Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Meaning to say, they have done two separate items over here, averos. One is, there's a parsha of Eidim Zomamim, where they were plotting against someone, and we do to them as we're supposed, that they wanted to do, and there the plot was the 200 zuz. There's a second avera of you shall not swear falsely, which they'll be lashed for, which we'll see inside again in a minute. V'chachamim say, no, kol ha'mishalim ein aloke. Once you pay, you don't get lashed. Second case, Me'idim Anu Be'ish Ploni, we testified a certain person, Shehu Chayev Malkus. He's chayev to get lashed 40. Let's say he ate treif or something and we warned him. Me'idim Tzudzom, we found out that they're liars. Lokin Shmonim, we lash him 80. Why? Mishum Lo San Brecha Et Shoker, for you shall not bear a false witness, which they did. And that's one set of 40 lashes. U'mishum, and also Vasisim Lo Kasher Samam, you do to them as they plan to do to him. But they wanted him to be lashed, so they get the 40 lashes. Divrei Rabbi Meir again. V'chachamim omrim, ein lokin el arboim, you only lash him 40. Okay, now we want to get into the understanding over here. Now, we're going to start with the easier opinion and then the more difficult opinion. So Gemara starts off by saying, Bishlema Rabbanan, the Rabbanan's position is very understandable why we don't lash him. And now we have to go to a pasuk in the Torah. We have to take a look at this. And let's go to Dvarim Chafhei Beis. Dvarim. Wow, it was there. How do you like that? I guess it was there one time before. Okay, let's take a look. This is the story of lashing the pillow, and this is the source of Eidim Zomamim, and the source, it's the source of Malkus. This is the source of lashing in the Torah. We've had this many times before. This is the hint. Remember, Gemara asked, what's the hint that if you can't do to them as you wanted to do, it's just not possible to give it to them, make them a divorcee or whatever, that we lash them instead. Starting from Pasuk Aleph, Ki Yariv Bein Anoshim, if there's a controversy between people, V'nik Shal HaMishpat, we brought it to the courts, V'shvatim, they judged, and now we're exposing the Eidim Zomamim, that's you have to read in between the lines, V'itztikos HaTzadik, now we make justify the one who's the Tzadik, because before we didn't, because the liars lied, but now we've set it straight, V'yishu Es HaRasha, and we punish the Rasha now, okay, now, V'hoya Im Bin, Hakos HaRasha, be if it's deserved, the Rasha decides, we will decide who will get lashed, V'hipilu HaShoifet, and now the judge shall cause him to lie down, V'hikol afanav, and to be beaten in his presence. Now, here's the key word. Can I get a little marker on it? I guess not. Kidei rishaso b'mispor. What does that mean? Kidei rishaso. According to his guiltiness or fault b'mispor, by number. Okay, we give him a number, kidei rishaso, according to his wickedness. Now, wickedness is stated in the singular. It doesn't say according to his wickednesses. Okay? There will be a different ending. It's according to his wickedness. Why is the Torah saying the singular and not the plural? Okay, do you see the word we're getting at over here? Kidei rishaso. Yeah, there it is. Okay, I was the magic touch. All right, that's the word. Rish aso in Hebrew means his, we have the word there, Russia, right? According to his being a Russia, meaning to say his fault, the thing he did wrong. Now, it could have said the plural would be a different ending over there. Okay, so it's implying one fault.
Well, that would be, Rish aso is his wickedness.
But it could be wickednesses. No, but it could say his wickednesses. It just says one.
What would that be? In English, doesn't work. I'm just trying to figure out how it works in Hebrew.
Wicked deeds.
And, Rishasus. Rishasus.
Rishasus.
Whatever. Okay. But anyway, but clearly the word means according to his one wickedness.
Yeah. So there's no ambiguities.
Yeah, it doesn't mean many.
One.
Means one. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to say, the Pasuk says, Kidei Rishoso Ksiv. That's the Pasuk. We just went before that. Here's the critical, very famous idea. Mishum Risha Achas Atomachaivo. You hold him liable for only one wickedness when he does an action, and two results come out of the one act. We only punish him according to the one, according to one wickedness. The iato mechayvo mishteim shtei rishayos. That's the word rishayos. Rishayos would be the plural. We don't punish him for two wickednesses. Let's take a look here. The Gemara's inference is from the singular form of the word rishaso, his wickedness. Not, what did we say, rishayos. Rishayos would be the plural. Implying that when both malchus and another penalty, whatever it is, execution or a monetary payment, are called for through this one activity, the defendant can be given only one punishment. That's the rule. You punish a fellow one punishment, even though out of it came two, right? Let's say an example, I go to your field. I go to your field on Shabbos, and I burn it. Okay? So now I've done two things. I've done Chilul Shabbos, and I've made you lose money. All right? There's a discussion. It's got to be at the same time, though. There are all kinds of details. But anyway, basically, if you're doing one action that carries two separate punishments, you only get punished for one.
Do we have this in Sanhedrin?
You have this all over the place. Yeah. You have it everywhere. Okay? Now, the question is, hold on. So let's see how they're applying it over here. So they did one action. What did they do? They lied. Now, because they lied, there is a problem of lo sana berecha eid shaker. You were lying falsely. So for lying falsely, you think you get punished for that. Let's even agree to that for a minute. You have to get lashed. Also for kasher zoma, the law of trying to do something bad to other people. So there's two wickedness over here. You only give him one wickedness. Okay? So now the question now becomes, which one? So now, here's interesting. As regards Zomamim, who conspired to falsely obligate a defendant in monetary payment, so now you got two wickednesses here, right? So you got, he owes money and lashes, but you only can give him one. Now the question is, which one? So now, in the Gemara Ksuvos, which we're going to look at shortly, derives from scripture that's specifically the monetary punishment that's applied and not the malchus. So now you understand the rabbi's statement, whoever pays does not receive malchus. They're saying you only get one punishment. You can't, and if anything, where is that stated? Where we've inferred lashes of a kid. Remember, what's the only time the Torah says you get lashed? One time in the Torah you get, and this is the story, it comes out from is Adim Zomimim. So by Adim Zomimim specifically will apply to other places too. But in Adim Zomimim you only get them for one, not for both.
But didn't we learn that if there's two punishments that you have to get, you can only get one of them.
So it's come,
but it has to be the more severe.
Come lay bitterab mine, but that's only for himself. Yeah, come lay bitterab mine. Okay, we'll have to.
Well, just think, if he doesn't get, if he only gets lashed, the other guy doesn't get any. The other guy who would have lost money doesn't get any.
So let's take a look. Let's take a look at the Gemara in Ksuvis over here. Going to take a little bit of a detour. See, it gives at least the whole Gemara in Ksuvis over here. You don't have to know what's going on. Just we'll get to this point. Okay. So he's saying it was referring to a Mishnah. Is it going to give me? No, it's not going to give me the commentary. Okay. Anyway. So yes, this is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah. Me'idim anu es ish ploni shechay v'cher masayim zuz, etc. Shechay 200 zuz. Zomim lo ki mishalmim shlo hashem v'yedimakos l'idei tashum. It's everything our Mishnah. He's just repeating the Mishnah. Divrei Meir. It's all what we just learned. That's why I'm screwing up. The rabbis say, no, anyone who pays doesn't get lashed. All right? That's what we're up to. Now's the point where we need to know. V'neima, let's say the reverse. Whoever gets lashed doesn't pay. In other words, why did the rabbis pick whoever pays doesn't get lashed? Just say whoever gets lashed doesn't pay. So now that's what I know. So Amar Rabbi Lo, I'll tell you why. Beferish ribs the Torah. The Torah explicitly included Zomim witness in the obligation to make payment, even when that will exclude from the penalty of lashes. You'll find, we're going to show you a pasuk that's showing you this. So that's the answer. Heichan Ribsator, where did the Torah say that the Edom Zomim are obliged to make the payment and not the lashes? Michti, let's see. Now we're going to jump to the Parsha of Edom Zomim. We're leaving the Torah of lashes right now. We're going to Edom Zomim. Ksiva sisem lo duteim kesher zomam lasos lachiv, as he intended to do to his brother. Right? Now, very interestingly, so now you have to look in the pasuk over there. Yad biyad lamali. Why did he need the Torah to state as well a hand for a hand, where it says you a hand for a hand you do? So Gemara explained, dover hanitain miyad liyad, something which is given from hand to hand. And what's that? Mamon, that's money. Oh, it gives it to me over here. Okay, here it is. This is a pasuk with Edim Zomim. And you shall do to him as he conspired to do to his brother. Then the Torah states, your eye shall have no pity upon the Zomim witness, a life for a life, a hand for a hand. That is by Edim Zomim. It says a hand for a hand. So what's a hand for a hand? Right? We know we don't chop off hands. We already learned from somewhere else.
Money.
We know it's money. So now what is a hand to a hand? What is that? It's money. Isn't a hand for hand already? Okay. And it also.
For life too. So
what?
It's life for a life too. So why ignore that and just focus on hand for hand?
So you do. Because we already have these words already in the Torah and other places. So why does it have to say it? So it's saying something that's given from hand to hand. And we already know it says yad. So it's something with a hand for a hand. It doesn't come out so good over here with when you go into the notes here. Okay, so he's saying, what is a hand for a hand? Something that's money. So now, thus, the Torah requires them to pay money, even though they should also be liable to lashes for false testimony. Hence, we see that where Zomim incur liability to both money and lashes, they pay the money and do not receive lashes, since a dual penalty is already excluded according to his wickedness. And we can't say the Torah requires a hand for a hand, refers only to where the Zomim were not warned again. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. Let's just leave it at that. That's just the side point. I want you to see where you see that is, you only get one punishment. Okay, so now we understand the rabbis. The rabbis say we only give them one punishment, not both. And therefore, in our case over here with the money, what is it? You give them the money. And you only can give them one. So which one do we give them? The money. And that's the drasha yad liyad. In the case of where they said the guy should get lashes, So where Reb Meir said you get double lashes, they said, no, you only give him one punishment. Now it's not a question, which lashes do you give? Because it's the same lashes, so it becomes an easy issue. But if it's only one, if it's two different punishments, then we give the money and not the lashes. And then you could, besides the pasuk, maybe it's because of the pasuk, that's why we say it. But on the other hand, it works out better because, well, really, it is only the pasuk, because there's no reason to say give the guy 200 more than to lash them, because the guy never lost the 200. Remember, it's they were falsely accused, but they didn't carry it out. And even if they would carry it out, he'd pay it back. But the fact is, they didn't carry it out. So the guy didn't lose the money.
No.
The guy does not lose the money.
Right.
So there's no reason to give him another 200, even though they caused him anguish, right? Better lash these guys, will be whatever. But that's what the Torah is saying. Right. Well, that's right. So hand to hand is the right. Exactly that.
Question.
Yeah.
A little bit trying to compare this to when we bring carbonus for averos.
You try to what?
When we bring carbonus for
averos. Yes.
So is this a? We went through. This is an atonement or no? If it's a loss, it's not an atonement. It's not compensation.
If he gets lashes, it's an atonement.
Right.
Yes.
If he pays, it's only compensation.
Right. Right.
So I'm trying to think, because we talk about averos that you
well, do. No. So if you're talking, if you're talking about Adam Zomim paying the 200, that's not compensation. You know it's not compensation. No, it's not atonement either.
It's fine.
We're going to see in a minute. We're going to see in a minute. It's going to be the source of a machlokas.
Okay. So I guess my question is, we do double carbonus if the guy's done one action to averos. We've talked about that in the Rambam.
By shogeg. Shogeg. Right. By shogeg.
The guy does, burns the field.
By mazid, you can't kill him twice. By mazid, you can't give him kares twice. Karbanos usually are not going to deal with between man and man issues. Very rare.
The point is, you're making him do two penalties. So
the Torah is saying when we're dealing with one person trying to harm another, right? You only give him one of the punishments.
All right. When you're doing a vero just between you and God, then you better.
Then you know it can pile up, right? So there become differences. Are you doing different averas? You bring different korbanos for a different sin. It's a different thing between people. Okay, fine. So now we have to, so it's easier to understand the rabbis. The rabbi said you only give him one punishment, and when it's between money and lashes, you give him the money. If it's lashes and lashes, you only give him one punishment. The Torah says, by the parsha of Adim Zomimim that are lashed, you only give him according to his one wickedness, and that's what you give him. Fine. Here's the problem. El Reb Meir, but Reb Meir, my time, what's his reasoning? Why doesn't he accept the pasuk? It's a pasuk of Kedei Rishaso. It's a clear pasuk for one wickedness you should get punished and not for two. So what's he going to do with that? Okay, actually, the Gemara Ksuvos explains, okay, I don't know if it's going to make it worse or not, that Reb Meir interprets this verse referring to a case in which the two penalties are malchus and execution, and not money. The Gemara's question, however, is why he does not also interpret the verse to be referring to a case of malchus and a monetary payment. Okay, anyway, why he doesn't want it to be monetary payments? Fine. So now let's get back into here. So now what's his reason? So now we're going to go far away to a new place. Okay, even though I agree, normally you don't give two punishments over here. There is such a place, you don't give two punishments. But there will be exceptions to the rule. Exceptions to the rule. And here's one case. There's a big exception. Omar Ula, and this statement, Omar Ula, we're going to apply here, and a little bit later we're going to apply it somewhere else. Gomar, he's going to learn the fact by Adim Zomim that you pay and get lashed. Mimotzi Shemra, a different story in the Torah of Motzi Shemra. What's the story of Motzi Shemra? Okay, basically, a man marries a girl who's a Nara. Okay, he gets married to her. And he goes the next day in the morning after the wedding night. He lies. We don't know that yet. He says, she's not a basula. She's not a virgin. I was expecting a virgin. You didn't give me a virgin. And what's he trying to say over here? And he defames her by fraudulently trying to prove in court that she was unfaithful during her betrothal period. In other words, you said she was when I betrothed her, she was a virgin. Now when I was with her, she wasn't a virgin. So now he's claiming during that period of the engagement where she's legally married to him, yeah, right, with Arison, and that she was bad, and then according to him, I mean, he doesn't have witnesses, but he's saying, you know, marriage should be off and forget it, I'm getting rid of her. So then we find out he's a liar. So that's not exactly Adim Zomamim, because it's only one guy. Right? But anyway, the Torah says that the Yisru also, and the court shall punish him. Shall punish him. The Gemara, for not just lying, but defaming for defaming her. Yeah. It's motzi shemra. It's like you're saying she's not a good woman. Yeah. That's more than lying. That's character assassination, right? The Gemara interprets this punishment. The Torah just says the Yisru also, to mean malchus. Gemara says it means lashes. We're not getting into the weeds why, but that's what it means. Yisro so means he gets lashed. In addition, the Torah decrees that he be fined 100 silver shekels, which he must pay to the girl's father. So what do you see? What do you see in the Torah clearly? A guy can get both of these. He's getting two punishments. Wait, we just said you only get one punishment. Well, you know what? There can be a rule. Doesn't mean there isn't a rule, and there can be an exception to the rule. So 99% of the time, the rule is you get one out of the two punishments if you do that, but there's exceptions. And this is the Torah writes the exception because there's a rule. So the exception, you get both over there. And therefore, what's he going to say? So just like we see from over there, ma motzi shemra, just like when you defame a person, loke umeshalim, you get lashed and you pay. Afkol loke umeshalim. All, anyone who gets an act that carries both malchus and monetary receives malchus and pays. Okay, so it's going to be, I don't want to get into the whole issue over here, but we'll get to it a little bit later. But he seems to be saying, no, that it seems that, you know, in all cases, you get lash and pay. So even though we're saying you got kidei rishah, so that would be, let's say, with death or other things, you only give him one. But when it comes to, he'll say, I agree, you only give the guy one punishment, but that's not one of my monetary issues. It's by, let's say, death and lashes. Lashes and lashes. You know, well, not lashes, but whatever. That there'll be a place to learn it, but not by money and lashes. Not by money and lashes. So everywhere where you have money and lashes, you give them both. Okay? So that was what he would want to say. And therefore, let's apply it over here too. You give him, he pays the money, and he gets the lashes. Gemara says, that's not a good proof. You can't learn from there. Why not? Well, let's think about it. What's the nature of the punishment that he's getting, this defamer? If you could show that it's different than everything else, then we can't learn from it. And here we want to question and say, wait a minute, Moshe Shemer is so unique, we can't learn from
just
it.
Just one act.
What?
One speech. You just
no, no. Mala Moshe Shemra. Shekain Knas, which is a fine. It's a fine, and that makes it a unique situation. And as a fine, we can't learn from anywhere else. Why? Since the payment imposed is not one of compensation, right? Let's think about it. Did he hurt her? Did he damage her? I mean, did he actually do something to her? No, he just said words. Okay, it was bad, but now we prove that he's wrong. He's a liar. Okay, so that's it. You know, you're a liar. So what's going on? So, like, what? Why are you exactly paying the money? Is there a compensation here? You didn't make her lose any money. So, okay, you said a lie. Okay, defamation character. We took the court. We straightened it out. Now we're going to make a big announcement that he's the liar. She's not. So we've kind of fixed up everything, right?
She's okay.
And no one's going to say, oh, she's no. The court went through it and they made a sock. She's fine. He's a liar. So now why are they now making him pay money and lashing him?
Yeah.
So therefore, it must be only that it's a knas. It's a punitive measure.
Yep.
It's not. And therefore, we have a rule. We cannot learn this from anywhere else. When it's a knas versus a regular mammon case, when it's compensation, so then compensation, you can't learn from regular knas.
This is not compensation.
So since it's a knas is one, yeah, when it comes to knas, because knas itself isn't by the nature of compensation, it's just punitive. Okay. Wait, coming up. So therefore, they're going to say, what kind of teaching is this? Knas is a, motzi shemer is a knas, is punitive, and everywhere else not. You can't learn from everywhere else. So guess what? The answer is, Savarlaka Rabbi Akiva, if you recall back on Daf Beis, Amud Beis, if you can remember, we said there were, we brought a brisa that added to Mishnah, there's four cases where you, certain laws with Edim Zomim, and they said according to Rabbi Akiva, the Edim Zomim, they admit to having been Edim Zomim and had to pay, they don't pay.
Right, yeah.
They don't pay.
Right.
And the Gemara says, why? And they said, well, because he holds like, because Rabbi Akiva holds that Edim Zomim is a knas. Do you remember that? Probably not. That's what we're going to review on Shavuos night, everything we learned. So that Rabbi Akiva holds it's a knas. And then the Gemara brought two rabbis afterwards proving that it's a knas, because really they lied for $200. They have to pay $200. And we said, but the guy didn't lose any $200. So why are they paying it? Because it's a knas. So there's a school of thought, Rabbi Akiva and a couple other rabbis supporting him over there, that say it's a knas. So now Rabbi Meir will hold like Rabbi Akiva, and he holds that Edim Zomimim is the Edim Zomimim knasahu. Edim Zomimim is a knas. So very good. Since Edim Zomimim is a knas, and Motzi Shemra is a knas, we can at least learn Edim Zomimim from Motzi Shemra. Maybe you can't learn other places. Maybe regular, but since the whole idea of Edim Zomimim is a fine, so therefore you don't pay it. Now the only, and therefore, I guess we would say the same thing by the lashes too, I would imagine. But let's take a look over here. Because he says also they got double lashes, right?
Double lashes?
Right. Rabbi Meir says it's going to be, if they say he gets lashed, was supposed to get lashed and was lied, he gets double lashed, right? Just to refresh your memory back to what we had on Beis Amud Beis. As we know, Zomim witnesses are punished by court only if the sentence obtained against a victim has not yet been enforced. Thus, since they're subject to the penalty only if they have not actually done anything, it's obvious the penalty is not a payment for damages. Consequently, it must be categorized as a fine. Now look, this is gonna what you call it with the movie when you mess up a movie. You don't know what the end is and someone tells it. What do they call it?
Spoiler.
So here's the spoiler. Okay, here's the spoiler. Although the Gemara cites support for Rabbi's view, remember I brought it down. Note, not all tanaim accept that Zoma penalty is a fine. See note 4b, note 17, which will be coming up, not today, but soon. So you're going to see, and that's going to be the issue over here. So now we're saying, Reb Meir holds that Rabbi is a knas, and what are the rabbis going to do now? Wait a minute, it's a knas, so why don't we learn? Why don't we learn from there? Yeah, you only punish him one time, but wait a minute, by a knas, knas doesn't follow the rules. Right? We have a rule. You punish a guy for one and not for two. That's okay, but not when it's a knas. The fact it's punitive means we don't want to, you're not following any rules. Punitive has its own laws. So Rabbi Meir says, well, we'll say Eim Zomim is a knas. So what's the rabbis going to do? The rabbis have maintained that Zomim penalty is classified a compensatory payment and not a fine. And therefore, they do not derive the case of Zomim from the case of the defamer. That's Tosfos. The rabbi's view will be elaborated on later in note 17. Now, this is going to be a bit of a problem. So that's really the issue over here. Is Edim Zomim a fine or is it compensation? You have to understand what's exactly the compensation if nobody lost any money over here.
Right.
That needs to further be explained. With Simulis Gemara, their mayor should admit, in case which the payment is compensatory in nature, so that is not similar to the payment of the defamer, that the person does not receive malchus and pay, and that the rabbi should concede in a case of a fine where the payment is similar to that of the defamer, that the person does receive malchus and pay. Wouldn't you think that would be true?
That's right.
That there should be places of agreement. In truth, however, we find throughout the Talmud, the Rameir is cited as maintaining that a person receives malchus and pays in all cases, even where the payment's not a fine, And the rabbis hold that a person never received malchus and pays, even when the payment is a fine. There's all kinds of discussion over here. That's obviously a difficulty. That's why you spend all day learning Torah, to understand the issues at hand over there. Okay? So that becomes basically, on a simple level, the machlokas. Do we say that Eidim Zomim is a fine? So since it's a fine, it can be learned out from, the Motzi Shemra, which is a fine, and therefore it excludes the normal rule. Or the Chachamim will say it's not considered a fine, it's a compensation, and therefore we can't learn it from Motzi Shemra. We fall back to the simple rule, you don't give two punishments for one action, but you give one. Now what would be nice is, we'll have to then deal with what's the obvious question that needs to be asked. So what do they do with the pasuk of, according to Rabbi Meir, it's very good. We have the pasuk, thou shalt not swear falsely, because that becomes the lav for which we'll lash them and get 40 lashes, right? So I understand why I have that. According to the rabbis who say, well, not really. So what are they going to do with that pasuk? Thou shalt not swear falsely. What does it matter? We're not going to punish for that anyway. And you really don't have a case where you're just lying, or we're going to find out. It really only applies to the Eidim Zomim, it would appear. We'll see. But anyway, that's going to be a question there. What's going to happen? I'm just going to give you the tease for next week. Now all of a sudden there's going to be a big, going on a side point. This idea that Ula said, we learn from Motzi Shemra. We learn Eidim Zomim from Motzi Shemra. The Gemara now is going to go on a totally separate issue and say that, you know what, there's another version. Just start off. Others understand that Ula's statement, which he made, not in regard to Malchus and paying, but in regard to a different statement altogether. So that's what he's saying. The discussion that follows will temporarily divert us from our topic. At the end of the Yom, the Gemara will return to the subject at hand. So that's what we're going to get in, and it's a long piece, so it doesn't pay to start it. Right now we have a simple Hesber Machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Remember, who do we hold like? The Chachamim. And you're not going to get the lashes for that. Okay? And next week we'll get into the side topic and get back into our main topic. Okay.